Welcome to Inspired Artist Podcast with me, Sirgun Kaur. In this episode, I get to speak with the magnificent Sukhdev and Akadama Jackson, who make up the duo Icona. They are some favorites of mine. I have been hearing Sukhdev's voice since the beginning of my spiritual journey, and it was a real pleasure to talk with them about what they are doing in their role as teachers, in their role as mantra artists, and as parents. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Here we go. Let's start. Tell me about the power of music.
Are we on?
Yeah. Oh, we've been on for 15 minutes, 12, 11 minutes. I just start recording. I don't know when it's going to start.
Oh, then you'll edit it down. Yeah, the power of music. We, in the beginning was the word. And some people look at that literally, but in our lives, the experience of this heart beating and having a consciousness is part of the vibration of the universe. So we realized how much music has influenced our life, even if I didn't consider myself a musician. I always needed to deal with vibration because my trauma in the womb was vibrational, not necessarily using my eyes, but just what I was experiencing sensory-wise, right? And the sensory stimulus happens because of vibration. And therefore, we wanted to talk to other musicians to see if they were having the same feeling that music has a power. And we had some incredible folks who have lived their life in music. Mm. It was really beautiful to hear the awakening of the impact that has happened from taking music out of the public schools and the general curriculum of education in the United States. The impact that it has had, on our mental health has been tremendous based on what people are doing now, mm-hmm. In terms of looking to reincorporate that because it's part of our being. It's different than music being over there, something to learn. Everything happening, inhale and exhale is music. Mm-hmm. The rhythm of the heart and the lungs dancing to that with their expansion and contraction is music. So yeah, it's been our life like that.
So you had a group of musicians and you would share through each other's music and discussion?
It was an interview kind of situation, just like this.
Yeah, we did basically a summit, and we interviewed Alanis Morissette, Deva Premal, Miten.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
Yeah, it was called The Power of Music, but that platform, Entheos, which hosted it, has dissolved, and so we're actually trying to get all the content to see if we can share it on our platform, because those interviews are super valuable, with some really great music makers. Yeah, so that was, I think it's maybe 6 years ago.
Who was it, Playing Sahej for Change? Was one. For music?
Yeah, Playing for Change, Mark, was it his name, Mark? Yeah. Anyway, some great interviews that we had, incredible. And it really taught us a lot about music and really the vibration of music and just what we've always known and experienced through music, but maybe weren't quite adept in putting into words,
because we all have such different perspectives and come from such different backgrounds. So
exactly.
Super interesting.
Exactly. And yet we converge at this vibrational sanctuary.
Somehow we've all found it here. All found ourselves here.
Yeah.
And the vibration of mantra and nad yoga.
So when did you guys begin to make music together?
So we met in 99 at the Landmark Forum, which was a self-help seminar, which is very popular all over the world. An inquiry into what it means to be a human being. We actually met there in 99, and I called him 2 years later because I had known he was playing percussion because I'd found that out through the seminar. And I was really intrigued, and I was like, oh, he'd be perfect to be a percussionist. And then when I got signed with, actually it was back then Alanis Morissette's manager in 04, well, 03 or something like that, 2003, I put a 9-piece hip hop band together, and Aka was a part of that.
Realize that. I've heard the hip hop story before, but yeah, not that he was a part of it. Interesting.
Well, no, the hip hop story begins in 96 when I was signed to EMI Records in London.
Okay, okay.
And then it dissolved around 2000, and then I came to LA, and then it rebooted around 2002 with a brand new project and a 9-piece band. And we did a lot of stuff around LA, and then that dissolved, and then we seamlessly transitioned into, you know, I discovered Kundalini yoga through him and the mantras and the sacred music that was connected to that.
Yeah.
And then seamlessly over the next few years, like, people just kept asking us. It's not like we were really mantra artists or playing mantra, but they knew we were musicians. And so it was just a natural evolution of the sound and the music and this deep desire to heal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it is at the root of our music, was this deep desire to heal ourselves. And we felt that we did that through music and playing mm-hmm. together.
And there were moments, though, in terms of pivotal moments.
What were those pivotal moments?
There were pivotal moments because in 99, I trained as a healing minister, which is herbal formulation and spiritual counseling. And I was introduced to another herbalist that was also a percussionist and a producer in the hip hop world that he had just extracted himself from. And he was on his own healing path, which caused him to become an herbalist. But music was still in his blood, especially as a producer. And he produced a lot of, the big hip hop folks that were coming up in the 80s in California, in the West. So he was breaking away from all that when I met him, and we converged in the realm of herb formulation and formulating rhythms and becoming curious at that time about the healing aspect of rhythm and what it is to develop intuition and connecting to the vibration and how we articulate that into this realm in a way that establishes balance, harmony, and peace. So we created a collective called the Urban Shaman. And so you can look that up. I think it's on Spotify, Urban Shaman. It's H-E-R-B.
Oh, okay. I'll find it and put a link in the description.
Oh, it's so good.
Urban
it's,
Shaman.
Yeah, it's still one of my favorite albums of all time.
So again, it was training and listening to the vibration and how it wanted to articulate. And we would just use all metal and wood, and sometimes just wood, and then skins and trees, and you know, like, so that would be congas or bass drums, you know, and the metal
wow.
trap set and some cymbals and bowls and bells, and then just all, you know, we would just dive into the different ways frequencies would articulate itself through. Sometimes we get a mason jar and put certain herbs in there and play that, right?
Wow.
It was truly an avant-garde but indigenous way of connecting with the rhythm. So that was going on in my life when I was going to the Landmark Forum when I met her. I had been playing out in the live club scene in LA as a percussionist with mostly rappers and people that were chatting poetry, and it was a real budding time that would give birth to neo soul, you know. But it was a real underground thing that hadn't quite reached the I guess you could say the prominent studios in their recording and producing it. It was just still grassroots,
yeah,
which was beautiful, you know. That just how we get nourished in our journey, if anybody's watching this, it's just you know, to have recognition is one thing, but to have your heart be involved in opening yourself up to a journey and having that experience with others, right? Because, you know, it was a collective of folks that were going through it that created this tipping point where it emerged all around. So by the time she asked me to play percussion for her, I was on my way to Wudang Mountain or Shaolin Temple somewhere. I was going to study some Qigong with a Tibetan monk or something like that.
She brought you back into the householder kind of thing.
She was part of it. And I had another friend that asked me to play live with them. And so she was returning me because I was leaving the scene, you know, between juggling. And then we had just finished the Urban Shaman Project. And we had got asked to play with NDRE for she heard the sound. And, you know, I gave her a CD and her security man took it. So I never thought she got it.
You know? Wow.
So then she called us. I'm in the parking lot of Staples getting ready to go to the Virgin Islands for an herb conference, an agricultural conference. And she calls on the phone.
Right? Oh, my God.
And it said India, like it was in my phone. Like, I guess it was the time when it was this, you know, anyway, it was the strangest thing. And she heard the sound, she heard the CD, and she wanted to go with a song that she got signed with. And she felt the vibe of that would be perfect for that song that caused her to get signed. And my business partner and colleague, Dr. B, he had just had a baby, and I was like, wow. So we three-wayed, and we had to get it together, and it was, you know, just history from there. But
so what song is this? That what was it called?
There is, it's 2008, the album.
It's called In Your Song, isn't it?
No, it's something to do with relationship.
Huh.
It's track number 8 on that album.
Okay.
Wade calls my name. That's the one of the hooks in the song.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah,
that's so fun.
Sook will probably find it with her.
I was just talking to this woman, Mary Isis, who's a musician, yesterday, and she was telling me how she met Nako. You know who that is, Nako? And Nako at an open mic, and told him she really liked his music, and so ended up singing background vocals for him.
There you go.
That's how it goes. That's
like, what a great story.
My first Kundalini yoga class, 2004. We were singing Thursday night, April 8th. And I thought it was a sexual thing because I had been studying Tantra.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay. And I thought Kundalini was just, I said, man, you know, I got invited. I kept refusing the invite. I finally went, we were singing, and he was talking like he talks. And I'll teach you, if anybody's listening to it, it's just a cosmic being that will lay down the truth and it hits you, not in your mind and its reasoning. It just comes right into your heart and your soul. And he started playing some mantras at the end of class. And I was like, wow. So I went up to him afterwards and said, if I brought my kunga, could I play with you? He's like, sure. Come on. You know, good as thing, right? Come on. Bring it on, brother. And so that was the end with music and Kundalini yoga and discovering the healing aspect of mantra.
I'm curious because, Agadama, you said in the beginning that you didn't consider yourself a musician.
I didn't.
So, and that's not true for you, Sukhdev, because you've always felt you were a musician, I'm guessing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I always felt like I was a poet.
Ah, okay.
I never played an instrument. I didn't really start playing guitar till I was like 30. Huh. I was a poet. I was an MC. And then I became a track artist. Like, I would write to other people's music, like mostly R&B and hip hop. And then I came to LA and then I started playing guitar. And I was around, by the time I picked up a guitar, I was about 30 years old.
Huh.
So it was very late for me. I never studied music. I played a little bit of piano as a kid, you know, like most, but I just loved dancing and I loved music, but I was never a musician, You know, I play by ear. I don't really understand music. I'm just starting to study piano. Like, I play by feel and by ear. But mostly I consider myself a poet still to this day.
But incredible. Let me say something. This aspect of music is there's a sensory aspect to it, like we were talking earlier, of being able to receive the intuition that the mind can convert into lyrics. Hmm. And then some people convert that into chords, you know, or rhythm. This one is gifted at hearing the frequency and articulating it into words.
Yeah.
So gifted. You know, words that go, that become a tonic, right? Even when she was learning to play guitar and she would practice, it was just the way she played the strings just calmed my heart every time she would just practice. It's like, yeah, well, let's just practice together. And I practice my rhythms and she practiced her, you know, strumming or this note or that note, whatever, you know.
Those days.
But she has an incredible gift for hearing the sound current that flows seamlessly through the vibration of the music and into words. It's really incredible.
Even before you were doing Kundalini Yoga mantras, I think, because so the first time I heard Sukhdev was before she was Sukhdev, and I worked at Euphoria Loves Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
I've been kind of stalking you my whole life, by the way.
I love this revelation.
I lived in France, and then, you know, I followed you to the States, unbeknownst to me. Then I ended up working at Euphoria Loves Revolution, which you also worked at, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're singing.
That was my last job.
Your EP there, that was one of 5 CDs that they would play on repeat.
Right.
And so I listened to your The Most Beautiful Day, that one.
Yeah.
It's like at least every day. And it was really powerful for me to hear because it was so positive.
Mm.
You know, I loved hearing these English lyrics that were so positive. Mm. At that time, I was writing sort of depressing stuff. So,
yeah, been there.
We know the
feeling. And I'm actually back there.
It's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Yeah, thank you for that. And it's been such a journey. You know, I've had so many incarnations in this brief lifetime of nearly 50 years, as you know, really 3 different incarnations in music, which is fun to kind of think about how one person could do that in a lifetime. But here I am, and now, you know, we've put out this, you know, I think an exquisite album, new album, Walking Sky Dreaming Earth, which we're just about to release a video for in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, which is really exciting for us just because it's the first video that we've done in maybe a decade. And so, you know, and now I'm back, you know, I'm back to writing like very deep kind of songs about the shadow and like the transition from the dark to the light. Just because I've been through so much in my own life with my bloodline and losing my loss of my brother a year and a half ago. You know, there's just something really deep that's stirring in me. And I don't feel depressed at all. I've been through and out of the grief. But there's something very deep that's stirring in me that is not at all about writing light-filled mantras. It's very much about the human experience.
Right.
And really digging into that and bringing some real poetry back to that, you know. So we're working on something very different for the next album, you know, and who knows how it'll evolve and transition. We're just still focused on Walking Sky Dreaming Earth, but we are writing and we are in a creative space of just gathering information and writing and just feeling into this cycle that we're in right now as parents and as teachers and as artists and really just milking it, you know, like milking the experience of where we currently are located in our life.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's the beauty and the enjoyment that I get is how can I put into poetry this current experience where I'm at, you know, and how it can help somebody else.
I think that's a really important point because, you know, in order to bring people along with you, you have to be willing to be transparent in a way about how you got to where you are. It can't just be like, I am me right now, and isn't this glorious? You know, try to figure out how to get here.
Yes.
But yeah, to have like this, you know, you can remember the steps you took and the things you were going through. And
oh yeah, it doesn't stop. It's like life is life. It's like in the layer of healing. But you know, my thing is like to really enjoy life, like to enjoy my child growing up, to enjoy my husband, to enjoy what we've created, and stop looking ahead and looking behind, and just be here now, and just be in the gratitude of this precious breath and this precious life, you know.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the writing is somewhat about some of the dark aspects of the human experience, it's also beautiful, and I think so important to feel, because when you're not feeling and you're using spirituality as a bypass, which I did for years, you know, then you're missing the whole point, and you're missing the depth of creativity that's available in the beautiful longing of what it is to be in the actual human experience, because you're not always lit up in the upper four chakras and, you know, and like full of devotion. Like sometimes you're in that extreme longing and pain and grasping and attachment. And there's also so much beauty in that.
And isn't that part of the devotion? To have that experience of the pain and suffering within and get an opportunity to evolve and remember that we're all connected. So is it just my pain and suffering? Because I would have a tendency to isolate in that. And I think that's the aspect that music brings such a healing power, because it allows us to connect rather than to isolate. And for me, and my observation from the spiritual counseling room, from the spiritual recovery rooms, you know, there is this dis-ease around separating that we are navigating through as humanity. And technology gives us a great opportunity. Our grief gives us a great opportunity. These emotions that tend to give us just our own internal personal sensory experience. We get a chance, we practice Kundalini yoga. So we have an awareness of being infinite. So we can move beyond just the sensory experience in the body and connect to what that sensory experience would be in the universe, or in the greater aspect of life. And in indigenous ways, which we walk that path, you know, it's about seeing the beauty. Mm-hmm. And when there's, this is the Salagiwe, when there's a challenge, tragedy, or suffering, or misfortune, it is a great opportunity to see beauty, to think right, and do good. So it's you know, it bubbles up, that those drama stories that we have, the trauma that we experience, the uncomfortable days, or when the children are not cooperating right when it's time to go to school. You know, there are moments where we can discover the resources that are in us that are infinite. So we really give thanks for particularly mantra in our life, because it has helped us to see that.
I saw you have a children's, or a conscious parenting course now, Akadama. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Segued nicely into that.
That's right. Just looking to discover these ways that we can really understand who the children are. Because we have a human mass consciousness. I suppose, at least in our psychological studies of the West, you know, because I'm midstream in a counseling psychology program that I'm debating, if, you know, because there's so much influence of understanding the Western points of view of who we are operating inside of this energy that would be called psyche. Mm-hmm. The way we think, our own individual consciousness, and how that was shaped from the ideas of corporal punishment, is that we're all evil, so it must be beat out of you, right? So that very archaic consideration of our being during that time, but then how that weaved itself into reward and punishment, where you praise good behavior and you ridicule and isolate bad behavior, and then into detached parenting, where there's still that whole flow of, you know, not being with the child, just send them to their room if they act bad, you know, versus being with them when they're acting bad, and into attached parenting. So how do we understand what the children's role is in our development as a family, which is part of society, and how do we create a healthy society? And the wisdom of the ages shall be hidden to the wise and the prudent, but revealed to the babe and the suckling. You know, that Lion and Barb Marley song. It's this way of loving and connecting and being with, how we can harmonize with each other.
Yeah.
Even though the very thing we would like to avoid, as far as putting into the past the issues that we haven't dealt with, the child will give us opportunities to engage it, you know, in a very visceral, physical way. And hold on to our duties as beings that are responsible for allowing this child to evolve healthy, you know, with self-respect and dignity. You know, just going to close that door, y'all.
Okay.
There's a lot of activity in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They're trimming a lot of trees since the fires and getting telephone poles together.
Oh, I see.
Our neighborhood is the area right now. That's the idea of the parenting course.
You know? Cool.
That's the idea. How can we harmonize and create peace in our families in particular, right? Because I think peace in the household will bring peace worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. The parenting thing is interesting to me, because obviously I am a parent. But you know, that was a huge struggle for me in the beginning, is being able to see myself as someone that could handle this, you know. At first it was sleep deprivation, and then, you know, like the neediness and, you know, whatever else there was. And now it's a full-blown personality who calls me out on things, you know.
It
just deepens.
Yeah. But I'm so grateful. I mean, I would not be who I am without those little teachers showing me myself, you know, over and over again.
Polish us up. We polish us up.
Yeah, and I think with regards to the music, you know, you really think about like what they're going to be hearing, what they're going to be listening to. You know, I think about Sahej and wanting her to reflect on our songs and through the lyrics. You know, when we wrote Gurudev Mata from the new album, which is really, you know, Gurudev Mata, Gurudev Pita, like. Mm-hmm. Divine Mother, Divine Father, like you are the beginning and the end. You are the one that takes us from darkness to light. And then within that, we interwove like our personal story of awakening and finding each other and awakening through this love, this divine love. And I thought about, oh man, you know, when she's 14, 15, like she'll be listening to that. Like she knows every lyric by heart because we would sing it in bed at night and rehearse it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think about like this song might help her, you know, and when she's 14 or 15. And I think like that when I write now. I think about the songs and the poetry and wow, I hope that it will impact her and people also, you know, who are struggling and who are looking for messages, you know, that prayerfully they can find it through these kind of songs, you know, that inspired and conscious and spiritual music makers, as you call them, you know, will are really pouring their heart and soul and effort into making this music that is conscious. And mm-hmm. and we all know, you know, it's not, spiritual music is not a money-making music right now, you know, and so it is really just, it's really for the love. I mean, we invest everything we make into making albums, everything, and we don't recoup a quarter of it, you know, and it's just because we love it and we want to keep doing it. And prayerfully, one day it can be a beautiful, abundant return, you know, and we're open to that. But it's yeah. not the reason why we're engaged in what we engage. Yeah. It's like a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. It's also like we couldn't function without having a part of our life being dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if that weren't the case, then you wouldn't be doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, the energy, it's really a relationship with creation, right? It's a relationship with creation. So I'm sure through the law of compensation, you know, the way humans engage and exchange services with this thing called money, you know, it'll all come back around however way it's supposed to. And right yeah. now, you know, to fulfill this mission of these souls, and to allow that to do what it's designed to do that this mind cannot conceive because of its limitations, then let it go out and do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll do what, you know, we're here to do. And prayerfully, the idea is that there's some healing and harmony and balance and peace and some nourishment for the souls of others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can take place out there in the world.
And I feel like when you engage in these things, it's like the universe always provides, like we're provided for in the strangest way sometimes. We're just like, so strange. Just the abundance comes in, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're just very, you know, and I know you experienced that too. And it's yeah. just like, oh, wow, this is so cool. You kind of see it's all tied together, and it's because you've got these offerings out in the world that these weird ways that abundance comes, and you're just like, wow, thank you yeah. for this gift. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's very cool. And I think it's all balanced in a divine way. Like mm-hmm. by saying what I just said, there's not any part of me that feels like we're not being taken care of or we're not being rewarded or compensated for what we're doing. Like the reality is, as a business, you know, we're not even breaking even, but that's okay because we're gifted in so many other ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does break even.
Yeah.
You know, in the world of the cosmos, yeah. in the world of numbers, and it's a different thing, but it's such a path. Like I couldn't imagine our lives to be really any different, except yeah. for music, you know?
Well, and I think that the perception that we maybe aren't as abundant as we, you know, we truly are, sometimes that can be a motivating factor. You know, if you had $1 trillion right now, would you be touring? I don't know, you know? would you have the same thoughts going on to write the music that you're going to? Sorry, what were you going to say?
I think we would, because yeah. one of our goals is to create space to create.
Yeah.
That's something that, it's a medicine for us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I grew up an only child, so creating and imagining and dreaming, visioning, it's always been, even when I went through dark times living on my own in New York, you know, I'd go to school and I'd be working, but I was always around creativity when I realized it, just looking at it now. You know, even a roommate I had, and he was a frat brother of mine, an incredible influence and guide and mentor right now, but he was in stand-up comedy. I've always been around creativity. I worked with beads, you know, as my Prozac when I was going through, you know, challenging times. So, and then out in the scene as the beatical alchemist, you know, and designing for the hip hop crew and being adopted by a Jamaican family that were Rastafarian. And they were in this creative flow of, you know, liberating the community through knowledge of their true self. And they would create these cultural items to tell them about their history. You know, the picture pendants. I don't know if you ever seen back in the 80s, those leather pendants in the 90s. They were these leather pendants and they were Africa or the Lion of Judah. And this was more in the culture of reggae music and, you know, some of the hip hoppers, you know, would know about it. But, you know, mostly when rap was in before it went to hip hop. So, you know, it's always like, this is one of our visions, is to create trillions of dollars so we got space to create.
Yeah.
You know, so we got space to create.
Yeah. That's so we're calling in the trillions.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
We say yes.
Yeah. So we accept that, Sergan.
We do.
Trillions. We're calling them in.
that was sort of my vision. One, when I saw White Sun win the Grammy Award. Two, when I saw Sonata perform at the Grammys.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, this is what we're doing. This is an investment in the future. Yeah, because absolutely. This is going to be very big.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. true. Very true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, do you have anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Check us out on, you know, main space is Spotify or Apple Music and Icona.com for retreats. And we're starting to, as of 2020, this summer we'll be in Europe hosting an Icona retreat every summer in Europe. And
where do you know?
We don't know yet. We possibly Spain or France, one of the two.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, so we've got lots of fun new things in the works, and we've got this new album that's just come out, and we've got a video coming out in a couple of weeks. Ancestors, check it out. And you can also find us individually at akajackson.com or shaktischool.com.
Yeah.
All right. And I will share all those links in the description so you can easily click on them.
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you so much
for being here. We love you and we love your music.
And the
way that
love your music.
Carrying the torch, you know?
That's right. Love to the family.
Yeah. Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
I love you.